Gospel according to St. Matthew. As we ponder the theme for this morning, how we are to love our enemies. Sounds rather strange to some. Perhaps very unreasonable, so it is. For we are not talking today of social things. We are talking spiritual language. Spiritual things can only be spiritually discerned and understood. And I pray, even as we turn to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, verse 43, that as we read, I urge you, as I always do, remember that, pray, please, in your heart, silently speak to the Lord. In your heart, say, Lord, open my understanding that I may comprehend, grasp the truth of what we are going to read and what will be spoken. Matthew 5:43. The Lord Jesus says to us, you have heard, it has been said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. Sounds ridiculous. Again, I want to remind you, we are not talking social talk or political talk. We are into the spiritual realm. And except the Spirit of God enlighten you, you cannot understand this. Neither can you accept it. So keep praying. Holy Spirit, enable us to appreciate the truth of what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is saying to us. And whatever He says is true. Absolutely true, and not only true, but beneficial, blessed to those who receive it and follow it. Is that possible? Verse 45. That you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans and the sinners and the people of the world do the same, exactly the same, tit for tat? You do good to me, I do good to you, and so on. It is the normal rule of life in society. We're not talking of that. Verse 47. If you salute your brethren only, greet them in the morning kindly, your brethren, of course. What do you more than others? Do not even the sinners and publicans do the same? Now comes the crunch line, verse 48. Please notice. Jesus says to you, be therefore perfect. To be socially good is not good enough. To be kind to somebody because he's kind to you is not good enough. Of course, we're not saying that you mustn't be kind to people if they're kind to you. You must be. You ought to be. That's normal. But, Jesus says, rise above that. Rise above the social level. Verse 48. Why? Because you are different. You want to become children of God, into the kingdom of God, into the church, which is part of the kingdom of God here in Calvary Pandan, you are a member. Be different in your behavior, conduct. Rise one step above the rest. Why? Verse 48. Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, because you are a child of God. Therefore, you have to behave, not just appear, but behave in your conduct, like a child of God. How can it be Dear friends, we have good reason to do what the Lord tells us to do simply because of Christmas. I say there is no better day than this day. And it is not often that you get Christmas on a Sunday, right? Not often. But it is today. And I say that message of Christmas is most appropriate today as we consider this: love your enemies. For the whole law of God which we try to keep is summarized in the one verse, Galatians 5:14. If you turn there, we will just have a very brief read through Galatians 5:14. Verse 14 of Galatians 5 says, all the law, the Ten Commandments, and all that entail by the commandments is fulfilled in one thing, just one. Verse 14 says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And who is thy neighbor, please? We got to enlarge our thinking, our perception. Who is your neighbor, dear friend? Do you know? Not the one of your own race, religion, neighborhood, culture, education, who lives next door to you. Ah, that's my neighbor. And therefore, in social terms, we all understand that perfectly. Be nice to them because they are part of us. Now Jesus says, no. Neighbor, if you recall that story of the Good Samaritan, there was this man being beaten by thieves, robbed, left to die by the roadside. And those of his own culture, of his own religion, of his own race, looked at him and quietly passed by the other side. They were his neighbors. Yes, by ordinary definition, they were the neighbors who should have stopped there to render that kind of first aid and compassion on this poor man. But Jesus told the story. The only one who passed by, the only one who saw and took compassion and stopped was a traditional enemy. Amazing, isn't it? And that presses home the point the Lord Jesus is trying to tell us today. Love your enemies. Don't just think, I should do this because he's good to me. That one everybody knows. You gain no credit. But as a child of God, we got to rise above it like that Good Samaritan. He saw this poor man, the fellow Jews, even the rabbis, the religious teachers, they saw this man, their own kind, their own neighbor. They took no notice of him and they just move on, except the one who is a traditional enemy. The Good Samaritan is our model for this morning. The Lord speaks to us. Back to Matthew 5, verse 44. Love your enemies. Why, the Jew normally is an enemy, right? Of course. No Jews like to associate with Samaritans, neither do Samaritans associate with Jews. They are traditional and historical enemies. Now, do you have such an enemy? Someone you consider, surely you will not want to have anything to do with him. You think bad of him, you think poorly of him. But I say there is a time for us to rethink. Why do you rethink today, Christmas Day? Why? I rethink because on this day I remember God sent his only Son to be born, to live, to walk among men, to take my place, to go to a place called Calvary. What for? Therein is the love of God manifested, shown, that God spared not his only Son, but gave him up for us all, for you and for me. Who are we? Ask yourself. All of us are born in sin, sinners, far from God, aliens, hateful, destructive, in God's sight, only deserving to be punished, enemies. Herein is love. And when Jesus talked of love, please understand, it is nothing to do with sentimental love, nothing to do with the Hollywood variety, nothing to do with sensual, this romantic love. No, dear friends, we're not talking about that. We're talking of love of God for men. At Christmas demonstrated, Jesus came. We all know that. Why did he come? Jesus did not come because men deserved his love. Not at all. Neither you nor me, nor anyone else deserves to be loved of God. We only deserve to be punished, sent to the deepest hell to suffer forever and ever. And yet God had compassion on us. We who were once in deep sin, far away, aliens, enemies. Now this is exactly the word that Jesus used, enemies. Who were the enemies? You and I. We were enemies of God. And yet Christ came just for enemies. And if he came to save enemies such as we are from death, to give us life, from misery, to give us peace, from deeper sin, to draw us to himself and make us sons of God, amazing salvation. How did it happen? God loved us. Send his Son to be the propitiation, to be the reconciliation, to be the sacrifice for our sin. We were enemies. If that is so, we who have been spared from the wrath of God, listen. Jesus speaks to you today. Our Lord says in his word, I say to you, love your enemies. Why? Is that reasonable? Absolutely, because the one speaking this is Jesus. And he has all the authority to speak it, all the reason behind it to speak it, because he can say to you, I gave my life for you. When you had no strength, when you were an enemy of God far away, deserving only to be condemned, I came. I forgave you. I loved you. I died for you. If so, if God died for me, Jesus died for me, in order to make me a child of God, can I not, as a child of God, be like my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Now that answers the question, right? You got to reason out in this way. If God did not punish me when I deserved to be punished, if God treated me as a friend when I was an enemy, sent his Son for me to pay the price for me, to go to Calvary for me as my substitute, now he says, go be my witnesses. Now this is the Great Commission. This is something most wonderful, that God can find some use for you and me. Instead of being a sinner, to be thrown into hell, we are saved, to be sons of God now, not just sons, you know what? Ambassadors. You know what is an ambassador? Do you know any ambassador? An ambassador is a very special person, you know, very special. You're handpicked. You're handpicked to be a diplomat. To know how to deal with people who are very perverse, maybe angry people, maybe enemies, and you have to be an ambassador. That's what we are. So the Lord Jesus says, please look at verse 44. Jesus says to you, not I say to you. Jesus says, you want to be a Christian, right? You want to be a member of Calvary Pandan, right? Of course. You join together with us in baptism. All of us come in here by baptism to be members of the body of Jesus Christ. And there is a difference. There is a commission. There is a responsibility. There is a privilege given to you and me to be ambassadors for Christ, to go and tell those who are still in darkness without the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who face only eternal destruction. These are the people. These are the enemies. How do you go and save them? Let me ask you. Verse 44, Jesus says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them who ill-treat you. Possible? Answer is by myself, impossible. How can I do it? It is impossible. But when God sends you, He also enables you. Do you know that? I say today, if you attend this Christmas service, hear this message, go home, examine yourself, say, Lord, I want to have a change of my attitude in life. A change of my attitude to other people. There are so many in my vocabulary, in my list of unwanted people. Let me consider why they should be in that list. Why? Why are they in that list that I don't like them? Why? If you were put in that list and Jesus Christ never took note of you, never gave you the gospel, you are finished. All of us are finished. And He came to us, reached down to us, saved us, forgave us, and bled His blood for us to give us life. Now He says, go for me. Love your enemies for me. Please remember, we don't do this for nothing. It's not a kind of an intellectual exercise. No. When Jesus says, go and love the enemies, it is for Him. For Him. For when we go and do good things, good deeds, and treat people kindly, remember, I do it because I am a debtor. Because I owe it to my Savior. He has done so much. He has made my life worth living. He has made my life meaningful. There is an object in life now. There is a target. There is the end point I know when I serve the Lord. Because He forgave me, an enemy of God. He loved me. Now I have a place reserved, an inheritance in heaven, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. You know that? That is the wonderful blessing because simply God forgave me. Now He says, go and learn to forgive others. Love your enemies. Don't treat those people as unloving, unlovely, useless enemies and arm's length. Never have anything to do with them. So here it is. You know, when we were in Batam, now these are practical things. For some reason, when we began the church in Batam, there was a certain gentleman who went around and spread all kinds of evil things about the Calvary Guppy Church in Batam. We heard about it and got pretty upset. And he went on. And he was a fellow Chinese. And in this Malay, Indonesian territory, he went on defaming and speaking bad-mouthing our Calvary Church there. What do you do? Well, I ask you, dear friends, apply this. The Lord Jesus says, love your enemies. He's an enemy, right? Of course He is, because He does nothing good to us. Lo and behold, we did only pray, and one day, His son got hurt in a motor accident and the leg nearly got chopped off. And he came to hospital in Singapore, became the patient of Elder Cheng Wenian, who was the elder of the Guppy Church in Batam. Now he says, that's my chance. I chop off the leg for him. He, as an orthopedic surgeon, did the best for him.
treated him, healed his leg, free of charge. All right. Love your enemies, dear friends. After that, all the bad talking, bad mouthing stopped. Immediately stopped. And our church had peace. God is able. But we got to obey and got to give it a try. Say, oh Lord, it sounds difficult. But you know, God doesn't tell us to do easy things. You know that? But don't be afraid because it's difficult. Because whenever God tells you to do a thing, He also enables you to do it. And if you believe Him and go and do it, He enables you to do it well. Very well. I'll give you a second story, also in Indonesia. Our friend, some of you have heard of his name, Haposan Siriga. Having graduated from FEBC, he went back to Medan to start a church. But it was an illegal church because it's not registered and the authorities were coming after him. So somebody said to him, hey, Haposan, you're in trouble. You better go and see the religious affairs officer again. Get your church registered. He went there. And the religious officer got very mad at him. Whatever the reason, he says, he chased me out like a dog. So Haposan had to turn tail and go home because this religious affairs officer did not like him. So he was like an enemy, right? Absolutely. He says, I really felt like a dog. Then he heard, this officer's grandson was in hospital with a coma. What to do? Well, normally, socially, say, well, you're my enemy. Why should I go and do anything for that child? But he went. He says, if the Lord says, love your enemies, let me go and try. He went to the hospital in Medan. Now, this is true, absolutely true. All of you who have been to Medan and to a Pontianak mission will know. He gave this testimony there. He went and found this child in coma and he told the mother, let me pray with you. He prayed. Lo and behold, next day the child came out of coma and was well. So this mother was so glad and grateful. Haposan went to the house after the child was discharged with a toy to visit the child. And there was the grandfather, the one who kicked him out like a dog. And this man saw him. Oh, you are the man. Wonderful. You want to get your church registered, right? Yes. I'll do it within a week. My dear friends, God can do things you never knew could be done. And not just that, you know. Because the church got registered in Medan, this man, he says, I will get you registered in Jakarta so that in the whole of Indonesia, you can operate the Bible Presbyterian Church. Enemy turned to friends because you learn to love an enemy. So when we went to Pontianak last month, we heard the testimony. Now our new church in Pontianak is registered because the man who chased Haposan like a dog registered our church for the whole of Indonesia. Now we can operate the church in Pontianak and the only Pontianak. Who knows? God may send us to Surabaya, maybe to Bandung, maybe to Jakarta. You never know. Simply because of what? Verse 44. I say unto you, love your enemies. Please let us not just say, well, it is a sermon. The sermon is meant to be forgotten, right? No, my friends. Sermons are meant to provoke us, to challenge us, to dig deep into our innermost feelings. Our convictions must change. Our attitude to people must change. Why? Because it is God's word. And God's word never goes wrong. And He says, love your enemies. You try it. However, there is an exception. And I must not end without mentioning the exception. Love your enemies is not blind love. You know what is blind love? Anything will do, as long as we feel loving, we'll do it. Love your enemies is not a blind love. Because there are some who you must never, never compromise with or forgive and say, let's be friends. And you say, who are they? Who are they? In the church ministry today, there is a group called the ecumenical movement, right? If they come to you and say, Calvary Pandan, we invite you to co-labor with us. We're going to have a drive, and you join us in join hands, and together we are going to evangelize in Pandan Gardens. Let's be friends. What do you say? There is a difference. So don't say, well, the Lord says, love your enemies. They are opposite to us. And you join your hands with them. You know what is the ecumenical movement? For those who are not clear, let me just give you in a nutshell, very simply. This is a religious movement which says all religions are good. Well, there's nothing wrong to say all religions are good, you know. Dear friends, let me explain very briefly. Nothing wrong to say all religions are good as long as your focus and your objective is on earth. Please understand. Yeah. If the only thing at stake is my future on earth only. I absolutely agree with that statement. All religions are good. For every religion teaches good things, isn't it so? Answer is absolutely. But our objective is not on earth. And to go to the heavenly kingdom, you must set your sights aright. Only Jesus. Always Jesus. No one else but Jesus. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. And if somebody else comes and says, let's join hands and form a new religion, a new church, and we will all be together. Forget the past. Forgive the past. I said, do not. Do not. Or if somebody comes in and creates trouble in the church and derides your Bible, runs down your Bible, say, this Bible is only good enough for the past, but not good enough today, full of mistakes, mistakes here, mistakes there. He say, love your enemies. I invite you out for dinner and make friends with you. Say, pretty good, lah. We all be friends, and you can talk your things about my Bible. I don't mind it. I said, dear friends, you have lost the whole point. If someone attacks your Bible, which is the only lifeline to God, the only truth that we have to believe on Jesus Christ and to preach the gospel, only this book, nothing else. And somebody attacks you and says, oh, how come you run by, brother? I say, you have missed the whole point. This is not what the Lord Jesus is talking about. If there is such a person, what do you say? You are a wolf in sheep's clothing coming to my church to attack my Bible. No, nothing to do with you. Because you attack my Lord, you attack my Bible, I have nothing to do with you. Please let us understand. So there are two facets, two approaches to this whole matter of forgive one another, loving enemies. My dear friends, I close with a few verses from the book of Romans, and then we shall go home. All right. Romans chapter 12. Here the Apostle Paul gives us the best advice, and not just advice, but this is an injunction or command to wind up our thinking about forgiving enemies. Romans 12:17. All right, please follow carefully. Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Why? Because in every fallen son of Adam, there is vengeance and murder in the heart, in all of us. We all want to get even, get even, get even. And Paul says, don't. Follow, please. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honorable, honest in the sight of all men.
if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Yes, do not get agitated, get angry, get fussed because your neighbor made a bit of noise or a bit of his water came across to your side or you smell something bad coming from his place and you retaliate. Do not retaliate. There are other things you can do. Pray for them. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Don't be vengeful. Don't be vindictive. Don't be heated up because of something your neighbor said to you, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. Who says that? The Lord says, vengeance. Let him pray and commit the matter to the Lord. Say, Lord, my neighbor is so, all these things. Lord, please take note. Will the Lord take note of all these evil things that the neighbor is doing? Of course. Leave it with the Lord and be nice to your neighbor. Be kind to your neighbor. Do something good for your neighbor and see what the Lord will not do for you. Verse 20, listen to this. Therefore, if your, your enemy hunger, what do you do? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. What do you mean by coals of fire? You provoke his conscience. He suddenly realized, oh, this man is not bad after all. And why was I so nasty to him? And he'll be so remorseful, like coals of fire on his head, simply because what? You were good to him. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, may we learn from the Lord Jesus Christ that he was meek and mild and undefiled. And for our sakes he came to forgive us and to love us with everlasting love. May we learn from him that Calvary love, to love our enemies and to forgive and to forget. Bless all your people on this Christmas day, that because Jesus came, we have a new outlook, a new life to live for thee. In Jesus' holy name, amen.